absolutely love the fact that when I first, I think it's on. It's on. Can you hear me now? Turn around. No. Still can't hear me?
Yeah.
Y'all can hear me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm home.
They're
working on it over here. They're working on it. I absolutely love the fact that when I first came here, that when I made the mistake of saying that I was going to church, I got corrected.
Amen.
Bob was good at correcting me. Junior was good at correcting
Amen.
Me. And I had to rethink that because it's absolutely right. We are the church.
That's right. Amen.
I'm not going to meet. I'm going to a place where we gather together for one purpose. To worship God.
Amen.
We are gathered together here today to worship God. Don't think at any point in time that we are not gathered for that purpose. Because that's why we're here.
Amen.
Now I want to read to you John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, because this is where Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. Remember the woman at the well?
Yes.
She's a Samaritan woman. The Jews did not like Samaritans for two reasons. One reason they didn't like Samaritans is because they were quote-unquote half-breeds. They had married outside of the Jewish religion. So they were only half Jews. The second reason they didn't like them is because the Samaritans decided that they didn't have to go to Jerusalem to worship. They could worship in different places, primarily upon a mountain that they considered to be holy. Now, with that in mind, they did not get along well with the Jews. And the Jews didn't get along with them. And so oftentimes what they would do is they built a bypass, actually, what we would call today a bypass around Samaria, in order so that they wouldn't have to walk through that region or through that town. And the bypass would take them 2 days to get around, when it would only take them a half day to go straight through Samaria. Well, Jesus and his apostles decided that they would go straight through. And they ran into a lady there. And Jesus spoke to that lady, or spoke to that lady, and that lady determined that Jesus was a prophet. And that lady, later, became a great evangelist for Jesus there in Samaria, because she went into her own town and she said, "I think I have found the Messiah. Come and see." Now she asked Jesus an interesting question. And the interesting question that she asked Jesus was this: shall we or can we worship anywhere we want? Do we have to worship at this place or at this place? And Jesus responded to her there in verse 23. Jesus says, "A time is coming and now has arrived when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such peoples, the Father seeks to be His worshipers."
Amen.
God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to talk about those two words primarily. Because if we're going to worship God, we must worship God in those two ways: in spirit and in truth. Now don't raise your hand because I already know the answer to this. How many of you think that you do a great job worshiping and you don't need to do any better? Don't raise your hand. Then I'm going to call you out. Let me tell you something. There's not one person in here that worships as good as you need to worship. Can we worship at home? You bet. We can. And we should. Each and every day we should worship in our homes. We should worship in our lives. Each and every hour we should thank God for the gifts that He gives us, because He gives us such great and wonderful gifts in this world. Amen. And we should worship Him and thank Him daily, hourly for those things.
Amen.
Should we not?
Right.
But realize this. I love coming together with other Christians to worship.
Amen.
To sing songs of praise. To lift up our voice to God in prayer. This is where we come together for that purpose. To worship God. Yes, I can worship God other places. I can worship God by myself and should. But when you come together to worship God, it should be special.
Amen.
And so you should look forward to it each and every time that you can come together. This week, pretty good example. We got Sunday morning, we got Sunday night. We got Tuesday night. We got Wednesday night. This week, that you can come together and learn the Word of God and worship Him. Folks, you should want to do that. If this, however, is a drudgery to you, and where, I got to get up on Sunday morning, we got to go in, you know, I'm supposed to take the Lord's Supper, I'm going to do that, you know, and I'm going to check off all these things I'm supposed to take. Your worship, folks, is in vain.
Amen.
It's not worship. And the reason why it is not worship is because it is not in spirit, and it is not in truth. So look at this. Our worship, how is it? Is our worship good? Is our worship bad? Can our worship be better? The answer to the last one is definitely yes. Do I think our worship is bad? No, I don't think it's bad. But I definitely think it can be better. In our elders' meetings, we often talk about our worship service. Could it be better? With our song leaders, I often hear this, that not enough people are singing. That's a problem. You know why it's a problem? Because Jesus Christ sits right next to you. He hears you. And every note you sing, whether it's on key or not on key, is perfect.
Amen.
To God and to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because we have the Holy Spirit that intercedes for us. And so everything is perfect. But, guess what you have to do? You have to sing. If you don't sing, you're not worshiping.
Amen.
So let it out. Let it out. I think I've told you before, there was an elderly lady who was in her 80s. She sat on the front row, right there. And I stood right here in front of her and led singing. I don't think she ever hit a single note that I was hitting. But her worship was beautiful.
Amen.
She would turn that head and she would sing with everything she had to sing. That worship was wonderful. And there's very few places that I have ever been that I walked out and I said, boy, that worship was perfect. perfect, and they didn't need to improve it. Matter of fact, there's been none. We can all do better. We can all do better. So, tonight, how is our worship? Let's look at this. It's our worship in spirit and in truth. Worshippers of the Father must worship in spirit and in truth. So let's take a look at that. What does it mean to worship in spirit? Here's a good point I'm going to make. Where is your heart? That's where the spirit is. Where is your heart? Notice this in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. It says this. The people approach me with their words, and they honor me with their lips. But their heart is far away. Maybe their heart is thinking about something else. Maybe their heart is thinking about, you know what, we're going to have lunch after I get done. And maybe, just maybe, that preacher will hold it to 20 minutes. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. Hey, can't do 20 minutes, I can't get any more than 20 minutes. I got to go a little longer than that. Sometimes 30, sometimes 40, sometimes whatever. But let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how long I go. It matters where your heart is.
Amen.
Is your heart right with God? Is your heart in worship with God? When Jesus told the woman at the well that you have to worship God in spirit and in truth, he's talking very specifically about where is your heart? Where is your heart? It doesn't matter if you worship at this mountain or at this place or at the temple or wherever it may be. It doesn't matter. What matters is where is your heart when you worship? And I want you to know that there are people here today that need some heart help. Need a shock. Need something. Get your heart right with God. What does it mean to worship the truth? Notice what it says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. It says, in vain they do worship me. Why in vain they worship? Because they teach as doctrines the commandments of men. In other words, they're not teaching God's word, but they're teaching man's word instead. And if you teach man's word, then your worship is in vain. That's one of the reasons why I like to put these verses up on the screen where you can see it.
Amen.
That way you know it's not my word that I'm saying here. This is God's word. And if you're offended by what I have to say, understand this. You're offended not by me, but by the word of God.
Amen.
Because we've got to worship in truth. Not only in spirit, where is your heart, but you've also got to worship in truth. Your worship must be God's worship, God's word. It cannot be from the doctrines of men.
Amen.
So read what it says up on the board. It's very plain. You must worship in truth. Now, notice this. 1 Corinthians 14, 15 tells us this. We should pray. Pray how? Pray with the Spirit. I want you to realize sometimes, back when I was growing up, there was a man, an older man, wonderful man. And when he got up to pray, he gave a sermon. If the preacher went 20 minutes, he went 30. And I would hear people from time to time complain about that. They said, you know, he just needs praying this quick. No. No. Because his heart was in the right place. This morning we were talking about a 10-year-old praying. You ever listen to a 10-year-old pray? They pray with the heart. They pray with the spirit. Folks, when people are up here praying, you listen to what they say? Does your heart go out to them? There are people that we need to raise up as far as our prayers concerned. And Liz Hooper is a great example. She's doing wonderful in comparison to what we were told at first.
Amen.
And there have been a lot of prayers go up for Liz. And we are thankful and grateful God has answered those prayers.
Amen.
Pray with the Spirit. Pray with the Spirit. Notice this also. Sing with the Spirit. When you sing, do you listen to the words? Or do you just try to hit the notes? Or do you just sit back and don't do anything? Are you more concerned about how you're going to sound than the person sitting in front of you, or the one beside you, or the one behind you? Or are you more concerned about God hearing your praise? Where is your heart when you sing? We are commanded right here to sing with the Spirit. Pray with the Spirit. Sing with the Spirit. Look at this also. We are to teach and admonish one another while we come together. I've had people tell me, said, boy, you stepped on my toes today. I said, good. Good. Have people say, I need to wear my steel-toed boots. I said, good. Because there's times that you need to hear the truth. And I want you to know something. That about 99% of the time when I'm preaching that you need to hear the truth, you need to worship better, you need to do these things better, how many fingers are pointing right back at me? So I'm stepping on my own toes as well. Because I know I could be better. Folks, we teach the word, and sometimes that word brings us to conviction. And we talked about that when we talked about the Holy Spirit, did we not?
Amen.
That the Holy Spirit brings us to convict us of our sins and to tell us that we need to do these things, we need to be baptized, we need to believe, we need to follow the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is teaching us that, and I want you to know that I, when I'm up here, I am guided by that Spirit.
Amen.
To teach the Word of God, because here's the Word of God. Right. It's up on the screen for you to see it. And I'm guided by that. I don't make this stuff up. God is the one that wrote this. And I follow His teaching. So realize when I admonish you, realize what I'm doing. I'm admonishing all of us. And telling us all that we can be better. All that we can do better. And when I stop trying to do better, is the day when I stand before Jesus Christ and He looks at me and says, well done, my holy and faithful servant. That's when I know I'm finished. As Paul says, I have run the race. I have completed the task that was set before me. Now awaits for me a place in heaven. While we are here, we need to make sure in every way, in the way that we pray, in the way that we teach, in the way that we admonish one another, in the way that we sing, we need to make sure in every way that we are proclaiming God.
Amen.
We talked earlier that we were thankful for our visits, and we are thankful that you are here with us today. And I pray that we are proclaiming God to you. In everything that we are doing, that God stands before us, and it is because of God that we have the hope of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. And because of that, we come together today to worship His holy name.
Amen.
Proclaim God in everything that we do. And also, I want you to do this. When we come together, remember. Remember. In Acts chapter 2, verse 7, Acts chapter 20, verse 7. They came together on the first day of the week in order to remember. Folks, I need to come together. I need to remember. I appreciate it when our men get up here and they speak about Jesus' sacrifice right before we partake of the Lord's Supper. And the reason why I appreciate it so much is it helps me to remember that great sacrifice that puts me in a position where I have a place in heaven. We come together to pray, to sing songs of praise, to teach, to admonish. We come together in spirit and in truth, but we also come together to remember. Remember the great sacrifice and remember our hope for eternal salvation. The verse I have up here today is Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. Great verse. Use it many times. It tells us this. When two or three are gathered together in His name, He is here with us. Folks, when we worship, we need to remember that Jesus is sitting right next to you.
Amen.
We need to remember that Jesus is standing before you. We need to remember He is here. And we need to try everything we can to please Him in our worship. Folks, love God. Praise God. He is our Lord. He is our Redeemer. He sent His Son to pay our debt. And I know that I have a home with Him in heaven.
Amen. Amen.
If you have a need this morning, a need for our prayers, or a need for baptism, we want to give you the opportunity to come. Well, together.